DeepMind releases a system called Flamingo, Google releases a system called Lit, and AI21 Labs releases a system that's called Miracle. It's a fun week. Welcome to ML News. Have fun. All right, hey there, my name is Yannick, welcome to the channel. This is already part two of this week's news. I've done part one, released it a few days ago, so if you haven't checked that out, a lot has happened in this week. Let's dive into more of it. DeepMind releases a blog post called Tackling Multiple Tasks with a Single Visual Language Model, which details a model that's called Flamingo. So this model is essentially what GPT-3 was for language, but for images and language. This means that it can take in both images and language and multiple images and multiple pieces of text and then output a piece of text in response to it. It can also handle all of this in a sort of conversational mode, and it's pretty powerful. Now, one interesting thing is that it builds upon pre-trained and frozen models. So as you can see right here on the left, the vision encoder is completely frozen, which is indicated by the little snowflakey thing. The language model that everything feeds into is completely frozen, and the entire training of the model is simply adapting these in-between parts, these adapters that connect the two modalities together. That's pretty cool. Here you can see an example. The first image is a chinchilla along with a description. The second image is a Shiba along with a description. The third image is a flamingo. And then the model is supposed to complete what this is. And it bases this upon the entire prompt, which is images and text. This model can be used in a multitude of ways. It can do classification by simply scoring answers. It can do image captioning. It can do question answering about images, even about video, since it can take in multiple images and thus frames of a video. And it pushes the state of the art in various image language tasks. Here you can see another bunch of interactions. So what is in the picture? It's a bowl of soup with a monster face on it. What's the monster made of? And it says it's made of vegetables. The operator says, nah, probably not. It's a fabric. And the model says it's wool, which, you know, it's quite a special image. All right, this is Yannick from the future. We have some new results out of Flamingo now. DeepMind seems to follow the similar strategy as OpenAI's DALL-E, which I'm going to guess they observed and they learned that it works, namely that you give your employees and a bunch of like very trusted first beta users access to the model, and then you instruct all of them or you let them tweet about it. So it on social media, it looks like it's coming from many people and not just from like one corporate account. It makes it seem much more organic. But, you know, as long as this group is very tightly controlled, take all the outputs with a grain of salt. Nevertheless, we do have some outputs right here. So I've seen this picture going around and variations of it. I don't know if this is the only one, but they are all very similar in their result. Andre Carpati originally, I believe, posted this photograph and essentially said this should be one of, or this could be one of the benchmark tasks for visual models. If a visual model could explain why this picture is funny, that would be, I guess, I don't know, impressive. And people have been trying, as I said, to post these conversations with Flamingo, which is certainly impressive, but you have to lead Flamingo to the point where it kind of tells you why it's funny. You can't just ask, why is this funny? And it says, well, there's a guy trying to read his weight, but then Obama has his foot on it. So it's heavier than the guy thinks and so on, but the guy doesn't know. So you have to sort of lead. I mean, you can go find this picture for yourself. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you have to lead it to like, what is he doing? He's looking at the scale. Where is Obama's foot positioned? It's positioned on the right side of the scale. What happens as a result? The scale shows higher. So you have to like carry the question along. So I don't think that challenge has been passed quite yet by Flamingo. Another cool thing that I've seen, this is by Alexa Gordich. The model is very non-susceptible to some of the, let's say, properties of visual models, especially visual models. If you train them on the classification task, they will often interpret this top picture here as elephant because they focus on textures. Whereas I'm going to guess if you train with more of a image language focus, that tends to focus more on objectiness inside of images. So Flamingo it recognizes this is a picture of a cat, which I'm going to guess most humans would also see like this, even though the
the picture is clearly, I guess, nonsensical, if you want. And then if it doesn't, if there's no shape in it, it says this is a picture of elephant skin. Another cool one is this one right here. There's this picture with this giant cat in it. And Flamingo says this is a model of a city. It looks like a tiny city with a lot of people and cars, which is correct. I don't know. A human would maybe say, well, it's a tiny city and there's normal sized cat in it. But again, if you kind of lead the model to what you sort of want to get out of it, it gets it ultimately. So it says, is there anything unusual? It says, I see a cat in the photo. Is there anything unusual about the cat? The cat is very big. So ultimately you get the answer you want. Again, you have to sort of get stuff out of the model. Yeah, it's not really Turing test passing yet, I would say, in these tasks at least, but it's getting there. Like, there's not too much missing, I feel, until this is really at the level of humans explaining these types of pictures. Not AGI, just at this task. It's very impressive. Not quite there yet, as you often have to lead it, but, you know, getting there. Another thing also about Lewis, which I found quite funny, is this one uploading a picture of, I guess, himself with the drawn-on beard. The model says this is a selfie of a man with a beard. Now, there's two possibilities right here. One is that the model was actually fooled by the beard, and two is that the model realized that Lewis had put a lot of effort into that beard, but just isn't very skilled at drawing and doesn't want to hurt his feelings, so it's complimenting his drawing skills in this way. We don't know. It could be much smarter than you initially think. So, you know, who knows? Now back to Yannick in the past.
Now there is a paper to go along with it. It's 66 pages long and very detailed and very cool and probably deserves its own video. Another highlight is that the model builds upon the perceiver architecture, which means that, as you can see here, for example, the image part on the left here goes into a perceiver resampler model, which is one of these adapter models that they train during training. And then that is routed into the main part via these learned latent queries of the perceiver. So a perceiver in this way works a bit different than something like GPT-3, which just always attends to the entire past. The perceiver has a latent stream of information that it carries through and then tries to add to that using attention into the things that come in, so into the pictures from here on out. And then it merges that into the entire language model transformer. So here you can see one block of that language model transformer. It is essentially, as you know, a language model, but it every now and then gets these cross inputs from this gated cross attention dense layer, which is exactly where that visual information comes in from the perceiver resampler. Another interesting thing here is the collection of data. They sampled 43 million web pages for images and text and used, as far as I can tell, visual analysis in order to see which text goes with which image, which text comes before, which text comes after, and so on. And all of this is essentially processed to one stream of information that consists of images, text, and pointers to how they connect. Safe to say, this paper is packed with information and packed with cool ideas, and I think the possibilities of both vision text models together, but also the combination of learned parts and then frozen parts and how that all works, how we can reuse knowledge that we take from single task models and then fuse them together, is very promising direction. Which brings us into the next story. Google Research releases a paper on locked image tuning, abbreviated LIT. So this is a model that combines the advantages of fine tuning, but also the advantages of contrastive pre-training. Now, if you do contrastive training, usually you take two pieces of information, in these cases, again, an image and a text, and you try to align their embeddings as much as possible. This results in representations in which you can do similarity search and all kinds of things over these inputs. For example, the clip model can do zero-shot classification by simply taking an image, listing all the classes, and then evaluating the similarity of the representations to each of the classes. On the other hand, there is the method of fine-tuning, in which you take some sort of model, like a pre-trained ImageNet model, and then transfer or fine-tune it to your task. Locked image tuning combines both of them. So what it does is it has a pre-trained image encoder, and then it only fine-tunes the text encoder such that the pieces of text, the representations, representations match with the representations that the image encoder gives. Now, you might think that is a step back, namely something like Clip tunes both the image encoder and the text encoder. However, what this paper finds is that if you freeze the vision model, then you do get much better performance. There is something about the contrastive training that almost loses a bit of information that the pre-trained vision encoder would contain otherwise. Therefore, simply fine-tuning the text model helps a lot in retaining a lot of that information. There's also a little bit of an online demo where you can try out the tool, so you can select one of these images and then you can give it a bunch of classes, a bunch of labels, and then evaluate that model. What's also cool is that this demo runs fully in the browser. You only have access to the tiny and small model because otherwise your browser would catch fire, I guess. However, it's pretty cool that you can do this at all. AI21 Labs releases Jurassic X in a blog post called Crossing the Neural Symbolic Chasm with the MRKL System. This is the Modular Reasoning Knowledge and Language System and is abbreviated MIRACLE. Now, this here is both about a concept for a new system, these MIRACLE systems, as well as a first implementation of it in the form of Jurassic X. Now, previously, AI21 has built a language model called Jurassic 1, which was similar to GPT-3. Now they're using that language model to interact with non-neural systems. So the idea in MIRACLE systems is that you combine the language model together with a bunch of what they call experts. So experts here are in form of, for example, a weather API, a currency converter, Wikipedia API, a calendar app, some sort of calculator, stock databases, anything that you can query, get inputs from, or send inputs to and get some sort of results out of those. Notably, these are black boxes, and for sure they're not backpropable, they're not differentiable. So the challenge is, how do you make these language models interact with these experts? The way Jurassic X does it is in form of these input adapters, which will analyze the input query, which is in natural language in this case, which green companies had the largest increased share price in the last month. They will then go out and query all of the available experts with the input that they parse out of the language, merge all of this in a very discrete and symbolic fashion into a calculator expert that they also have access to. And at the end, this goes back into a language model, which then gives you a language answer. This obviously is a more tedious, more manual, more engineering intensive effort than something like GPT-3 that simply gives you an answer out of the box. However, when it comes to more complicated stuff, I believe that this approach here might be promising. So far, if we want something like GPT-3 to do multi-step reasoning or anything like this, we can do it sort of by prompting it very intelligently. However, it currently has its limits. You can clearly see how this architecture would help a lot with that. However, on the other hand, the challenge with this architecture is, how do you connect these black box discrete parts with the neural parts? And probably promising approaches might lie somewhere in the middle, either by making these black boxes more accessible to the neural things, like somehow combining them with backprop, or maybe combining something like the reasoning prompt engineering from GPT-3 with traces of how people use these experts. I don't know how it's ultimately going to look, but it's pretty cool. Additionally, having these experts decouples what the language model needs to do, namely language and parsing things out of language, with the abilities of the experts, for example, calculating some functions or looking up some data online, which is something that frozen language models can't even do, no matter how big they are.
Hey, this is Yannick from the future. I don't think I've made this really clear in the original post that I made about this, but you can actually enter your own queries here. They have three experts available. One is the calculator, one is Jurassic One, the language model, and one is the Titanic DB, so a database of passengers of the Titanic. So you can enter any question in here. How much is the fish? And the fish costs $1.99. This is answered directly by the Jurassic One model. Now let's try to make use of some of these experts. How many passengers over 30 years old survived on the Titanic? Let's see if he gets it. Okay, select count survived from Titanic. I did not test this before this video. this is quite impressive. How many meters is the capital of Tibet higher than the capital of India. By how many meters? Okay. Well, still the Jurassic language model answered this one. I was trying to get it to route to the calculator. But what I want to stress is that you can input your own queries right here and directly try the model. This is very cool and very different from other models that you don't have access to at all, like DALL-E or Flamingo, and where the website, you can only select predefined queries. So I wanted to highlight that here. Yes, they do have predefined queries to give you an idea. However, you can also definitely go and just enter your own. So try it out.
All right, and now we're going into a long list of helpful things and cool things that I've just seen around. Stahlgan Human is a GAN, or even multiple GANs that are trained on humans. Humans in different clothing, in different positions, and is pretty good, I have to say. They have a nice website and a video to go along with it if you want to know how it works. You can do things like interpolation, and every time I see something like this, I'm just amazed at, you know, how far GANs have come. This has nice applications for things like fashion design, or if you want to shop something in an online store to see how it would look on you, or just kind of editing your style and clothes and look. As you can see right here, sleeves are shortened and elongated, skirts and pants and tops are edited, all kinds of fun stuff. There's a paper and a GitHub repo, and the models are available to download. GraphHog is a data augmentation library for PyTorch Geometric. So this brings data augmentation to graph neural networks. Usually data augmentation, obviously very widely used in things like vision. However, graph neural networks are kind of a new thing, and this library provides some useful augmentation tools for that. Especially if you work with PyTorch Geometric, give this a try. Bertin GPT J6B is a Spanish fine-tuned version of GPT J6B. If you want to generate text in Espanol, check it out. TorchDistX is the repository for experimental stuff in Torch Distributed. So this is where all the stuff goes that is not yet quite ready for PyTorch Distributed. One cool thing is the fake tensor. Now, they already have meta tensors, and fake tensors are quite similar, but I didn't know either, so I thought it was cool. This is a tensor that looks like it's allocated somewhere on a device and you can work with it. However, it isn't. So when you want to access the data or do anything with it, it either fails or it then needs to load the data at that time. This is especially useful in order to do any sort of delayed execution of stuff, but you already want to build the computation graph, or in order to inspect models that are just too large for you to load them all at once. So you kind of load the graph in, but not the weights, not any of the data, and you just look at individual parts and you just load them as needed. Very cool. Vectorflow by Netflix is another neural network library. However, this one is optimized for sparse data and single machine environments, which is a good use case. It's not a very standard one, so this might actually be interesting for you to do some new things on it. I saw this blog post from the iClear blog track, the 37 implementation details of proximal policy optimization. And this is obviously something that is well known in the domain of reinforcement learning, namely that these algorithms are not stable. They require a lot and a lot and a lot of tricks to get working. And that's why people usually regress to taking standard implementations rather than implementing it themselves. Don't try to implement RL algorithms yourself. It is a pain, and it is almost always better to take a baseline. Even if you want to invent something new, start from a baseline good implementation and then work your way up from there. This blog post details 37 implementation details for PPO. So if you want to figure out what kind of work goes into something like stable baselines 3, maybe give this blog post a read. DeepMind tweets about the release of 4 new libraries for the JAX ecosystem. I have to say, JAX is looking better and better by the day. So there's MCTX, which does Monte Carlo tree search in JAX. There's KFACJAX, which is a second order optimization library. There's DMAUX, which is a sound and audio signal processing library. And there's TF2JAX, which converts TensorFlow functions and graphs into JAX. MGPT is a 1.3 billion parameter language model that has been trained on over 60 languages and is available on Hugging Face. If you do anything in terms of multilingual natural language generation, this might be a good starting point. CleanLab is an open open source library that helps you find and correct labeling mistakes in data. If you work in the real world and you have messy data and you suspect labeling errors are a big problem, which they probably are, maybe give CleanLab a shot. They assist you in fixing mistakes and sometimes they even do it automatically. Shout out to the Efficient Deep Learning book. This book is in a draft stage and you can already look at the first 4 chapters of it. From the table of contents, you can see that it deals with stuff like compression techniques, more efficient learning techniques, and in the later stages, it takes some deep dives into specific platforms, for example, TensorFlow, or into specific models. Here, for example, BERT or MobileNet or EfficientNet. So if you want to be not just a user, but a knower, maybe this book is for you. The MiniHack level editor is a level editor for MiniHack. If you use MiniHack in any sort of experimentation, which I could be fun, it looks like fun certainly, this level editor will help you make some nice test cases for your agent at inference time. I mean, you could do it for training time, but how many are you gonna make? And in case you can select width and height and you can place the walls and you can place the lava, how about some lava here? Oh yeah. MuGen is a playground for video, audio, text, multimodal understanding and generation. So this is a data set of gameplay of an open source game. So here's how that looks. So what you saw is a piece of gameplay, and then they also always showed you the pixel segmentation map. So this is video segments from a bot playing this game, and the idea is that there are multiple modalities combined. So there's always the sound, there is the picture that you get, and there is this pixel-wise segmentation map. So this is intended for you to build models that understand what's happening by considering multiple input streams at once. It's very cool, they have 375,000 of these video clips. And along the clips, they also have textual descriptions of what's happening in them. Amazon releases the Massive dataset. This is a big dataset, as the name says, and it is a 51 language dataset containing utterances in the respective languages, along with code to get started. So if you're doing very multilingual natural language understanding, this might be a good dataset. OpenFacts is an open source 3D face animation system. So the goal here is to have a system that simulates realistic facial expression. This is probably one of the hardest tasks you can do because we humans are excellent at recognizing when a facial expression is not realistic, but the simulator makes a very good impression and could be the basis of many ML input or output pipelines. See, it doesn't like smile with your eyes. That's what they always say. You're not smiling with your eyes. Oh, wait, this could be the thumbnail. Oh. Avalanche is an end-to-end library for continual learning based on PyTorch. So this is a library that seeks to just make continual learning a whole lot easier for you. I can imagine, I've never done anything in continual learning, but I can imagine that it's quite hard because many components need to come together. This stuff goes on for a long time, even infinite time, right? You have to keep track of stuff, keep track of checkpoints, be able to roll back, have replay buffers, evaluate at regular intervals, yada, yada, yada. So if there is a library that handles a lot of that in one, very cool. And the last thing, this AIDoesnotexist.com will generate you descriptions and small usage code snippets of AI projects that do not exist. So what you can do is you can click next here. For example, this is the Hacker News Reply Guy AI, which is a bot for the Hacker News comment section. Here you get a little bit of a code snippet on how that works. If you press next, then you'll get the next AI. But you can also enter your own name. So let's try that. How about... yeah, you only poop once. This is a little bit of play on YOLO. Let's see what comes out, pun intended. YOPO is a neural network that learns to predict if an image of a dog will result in a poop or not. It was developed by a team at the University of Bonn and the University of Amsterdam. Great work, University of Bonn, University of Amsterdam. This is world-changing. You can even see here the snippet says I should load the image dog.jpg. Excellent, excellent. It's apparently a ConvNet, So I'm quite relieved. All right, that was already it for ML News this week. Thank you so much for being here. If you have news tips, don't hesitate to come by our Discord, or if you just want to hang out, I mean, that's cool too. In any case, I'll see you next week and stay hydrated. Bye-bye.